The following is a presentation of Remnant.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Frank Garcia.
Veterans, well, welcome to. It's good to see you all. I like to see all the faces. I always say this, when Jesus spoke, he would look right into the people's faces, see where they were at. Where are you at this morning? Remnant Church. Well, we're going to start our new series, The Games People Play. And I chose the game of life because this game takes you through a bunch of journeys, just like our lives do. Amen? And we do, at times, play games in our lives. We play games in our homes and with our loved ones, our family members. But most importantly, we can play games with God. But we can't fool God. You got to know that. We can't play games with God. We can possibly fool people and play it, but you will never fool God. Amen? Let's pray before we get into his word. God, we love you, and we praise you in this place. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come right now and fill this room, fill our minds, touch our bodies, and help us to hear from heaven this morning. Holy Spirit, fill us. Father, there's people here today that are hurt or lost or doubting or just don't feel you there, God. Reveal yourself to us this morning. Help us to grasp something new and take with us through this journey of life you have given us, this precious gift of life you have bestowed on us. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. We all have families in this building, I know that. And you've all been chosen by God to be a part of that family. And all that I'm saying right now has nothing to do with my notes. As we worship, God wanted me to share this. That the parents you have, the parents you are, the children, sons and daughters that you are, that's who God wanted you to be with. And maybe some of you don't have parents. Maybe some of you just have a mom or a dad. But that's how God wants it. And he still can do great things through that. Jesus himself had a stepdad. Because his true father was the heavenly father. You need to know that. Because I talk to a lot of people that have stepdads or don't have a dad. Even in the Bible it says, God says himself, if your parents aren't there, I'm paraphrasing, I am your father. I will take care of you. God's always been there for us. He's always been there when we're not even believing or trusting or following or playing our games. God's always been with us. So it doesn't matter where you've been or where you are or where you think you are. God is there. You need to believe that. Amen? I found this on the internet and I need to read this. On speaking on the gift that God gave us, which is life, it's very precious. I didn't care about my life at one time, and now I do. God has shown me great and powerful things, and he wants to show you too. But look what I found on the internet. A person wrote this. It says this. We believe in God. We have an idea of what he's like. God gave us life and offers grace. So what now? How do I live my life God gave me? What's his role in my life now? I have free will. Do we exhaust ourselves in trying to please him? Or rest in the knowledge that he loves us the way we are? When we sin, will he bust our chops? Or can we just use our get out of jail free card? Do we claim forgiveness? Or just party on in life with no fear or care? We have grace now. Can't we live as we please, sin, and repent later? Is that our lives? Do we take life flippantly and loosely and for granted? Again, I'm guilty. I did this for many years. I thought my life was mine. And I can do whatever I wanted, whatever I pleased at any time I wanted. Especially when I left mom and dad's home. I ran my own show. And I was so deceived. Life will take you through many journeys. And God has great things for all of us. But only with God will He take you through His will and plan. And of course, He's not going to show it to you. Because that's where trust comes in. We walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of us are seeing things that probably are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I took my life for granted. Like I said, and I did many things in life. I played the game of life of this world. I played it. And I followed all its ways. And you know what it brought me, guys? Nothing but chaos. Nothing but hurt. Nothing but division in my families. That's all it brought. But on the outside, I would smile and act like I was okay. My life is still mine and no one tells me what to do. But yet my home was all divided. I was never there for my children when they were little. I was a rotten parent and a deadbeat dad. A man that didn't care. Took life for granted. Until God let me find Him. Until His grace showed up. In our homes, we need to practice this giving of love and grace. I talk to many people throughout the week. And their homes are in shambles. And they always ask me, Frank, what do I do? What's going on? My first reply is, well, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? How connected and committed are you to God and to the church body? I have people always coming up to me. Frank, we need this in the church. We should do that. Us as pastors, well, here, go for it. We'll never say no. I had a wonderful woman in Christ ask me this morning, Frank, can I bring my tambourine? Bring your tambourine. We don't care. We want to worship God and talk about Jesus and His love. You want to bring a tambourine, you bring it. You want to translate, come. Come ask me. Come ask Jerry or Jeremiah. We need help. I have a drummer, praise God. I've been praying for a while for a drummer to help me out. Thank you, Victor, by the way, wherever you're at. God bless you. Guys, you all have something in you. You can be part of a body of Christ. Don't just come here and warm up a seat. You have something in you. Oh, but I don't. Well, stand at the door and greet people. I do that. I'm not a good greeter, but I have a good smile. Good morning, good morning, good morning. They tell me I have a good smile, so I just say good morning. Some of you, I speak briefly because I just want to say good morning. You can do that in the body of Christ. Maybe you women, oh, I don't know. At home, be the wife you should be. Take care of your children. I'm not saying you're not. Dads, oh, I don't know. I don't have any gifts. Yeah, you do. You're a dad. You're a husband. Do your part. How do I do it? Read the Bible. Men have integrity and respect and love their wives. Likewise, the wives the same. They respect their husbands and take care of them. We don't talk about each other. We shouldn't be belittling each other. We should be loving on each other. Because, first, most importantly, because God is watching. Secondly, your kids are watching. Your family around you is watching. And they're going to pick that up from you. That's what we're instilling in our homes. What type of grace and love are you giving in your home? See, the game of life, I keep looking that way, but it's over here. This game of life has instructions of how to play the game, right? So does the Bible. And I'm going to say this, and it hurts, because I was guilty at one time. We can spend hours on the phone talking about someone. We can spend hours watching TV, our favorite programs. Possibly nothing wrong with doing all that. In some cases it is. How much time are you spending with God? And you wonder why you have a hard time giving and loving. And why maybe your home's a little bit chaotic? I was raised in a home that was chaotic. I'm the guilty party. I was the head chief of that chaotic home because I was the man of the house. And my house was chaotic. And that's what my children were learning. Till God came in the picture. Grace and love changes things. But if you don't practice and apply, it's not going to happen, folks. You're going to be stuck there saying, what's wrong with my life? You need to be in the Word. You need to read. I've made a pact with God and myself. Every time I get up here, I'm going to keep telling the church, read your Bible. You spend a lot of time doing other things. Sacrifice a little bit for Him. You'll see your home change. My home really changed environmentally, spiritually. The atmosphere changed. The things on my walls in my home changed. I like to have scriptures and pictures, biblical scenes, worship going as much as I can. I like to get home. My wife's making dinner. I blast my worship, work out a little bit, shower, come help her. Keep the Spirit of God alive in you and in your home and instill it in your family. It's very important to share and give. As Christians, our first calling is to think of others first before yourself. Jesus took off all His glory. Yes, my Father, He took off His crown, His robe, His glory, His power. He laid it down and said, God, I will go down there, Dad. I will go down there, Daddy. I will die for them because I love them and I believe in them and I know they can be great. Amen. Give glory to God. That's all God. Folks, again, I was this man that didn't talk. I was an angry, silent man. Hardly had a word, let alone the encouragement. And God, you're seeing God's power move, and He's moving in your life, but you need to practice it. Practice giving in your home first, and then let it ooze out in your life. And get it, get this, when you practice it at home, when you're at work, when you're at school, wherever you're at, God will bless you with it at the same time. He'll surround you with those people that will give you grace back. But wait a minute, Frank, what if I'm not getting it and people are still being mean to me? Well, I'm sorry, but in the Bible, Paul even said it. If you got a mean boss or a mean coworker, you still got to love them and bless them and work for them. It's biblical. In due time, on God's time, He will do what He has to do. I have a tough job, but I work for God, not for man. Guys always walk in my office, oh, Frank, the boss is doing this, this worker's doing that. I smile and say, well, who are you working for, God or for man? Oh, you always bring up the Bible and they walk out. Another guy walks in, oh, Frank, I told this guy this and I said it wrong. And I'll go like this, and did you bite your tongue and think of Jesus? Oh, I didn't bite my tongue. Sometimes you got to bite your tongue. Hold those words. Let God handle it. Go pray about it. But think of them first. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their day was like. We're so quick to judge and to think of self and not give grace. We need to give grace. My first point is this. Why do we need grace? Why do we need it? Because we were born in bondage. When we came out of our moms, we were born as sinners. Sin came in the world, so through Adam up to us, we're born sinners. I don't care if you were born in a Christian family, Christian home, raised, you're still born a sinner. You still need to repent and ask Jesus into your heart when you're of age. Accountability. We need grace because we're in bondage. Today, it's a sad deal. I see so many Christians in bondage. And half of them that I know personally smile like this. Oh, we're okay. We're okay. They never need prayer. Well, I tell them, pray for me since you're doing so good. I'll be transparent. I ask some of you to pray for me. My wife's always praying for me. I tell my mom to pray for me. I ask some of you to pray for me. We need to be praying for each other. Because there's things we have in our past that will try to hold you and pull you down. That bondage will hold you. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. This is why we need grace. Brothers and sisters, consider what you were when God called you to be Christians. We thought we knew it all before we were Christians. I thought I had it made before I became a Christian. I had my job. I had my parties, I had my guy friends, I had my music, the clubs I played at, the shows we did. That was me. I thought that was it. I was on top of the mountain. I'm this famous rock drummer from the Imperial Valley. Cool, man, I'm awesome, huh? What a lie. What pride men have. What deception. And people pump you, man. Wow, you're good. Man, you sound great. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're getting too high. Stay down. Stay down. This is only my mountain. It's a lie. We need to go low, man. Humble yourself for others. Put others first. We were so bond. I had a lot of bondages in my life. You know the story. Addictions. I could not quit until Jesus came and delivered me. Until Jesus came and opened my eyes to love and grace and giving of myself, of my time, as much as I could. Because I thought I knew it all. And some of these bondages will not let you go. You need to fight. How do you fight? You pray. And you believe. And you never stop praying. The Bible clearly says, pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Let's watch everybody. I'm watching God. No, that's not what he meant. Watch your life. What are you getting into? What are you looking at? What are you saying? I always tell my wife, you want to meet someone and know where they're at quickly? Just let them talk to you. Listen to them. Jesus said this, whatever comes out of your mouth, it's what's in your heart. All that's coming out, that's what's in there. And that's how God reveals where we are. What do you talk about the most? Who do you talk about the most? How do you talk to your children? How do you talk to your parents? I cursed at my mom one time. And it wasn't a big curse word. It was a smaller curse word that I don't use anymore, or any curse word. My dad came to the door, knocked on the door. I opened it, and he punched me right in the mouth. And I deserved it. And I'm glad he busted my lip. And guys, young ones, for a second, I wanted to hit him back. But my dad did not teach me that. I never saw my dad hit my mom. So that's what stopped me learning from my dad without even practicing or knowing about it. I just stopped. I said, this is wrong. Because I could have hit him back. But I did not punch my father back because he taught me what was right. And I deserved that busted lip. So young ones in here, if you're disrespecting your parents, you're coming against God. Watch what you say. Or who you're talking to. All of you, all of us. We're children of God. We're brothers and sisters before the living God. How are we talking to each other? What are you thinking about each other? Oh, God, they're dressed today. Can't believe it. Instead of saying, praise God, they're here. I'm going to keep praying for them. It's not about how you dress. Be here and pray for them. And pray for those you invited that aren't here. Pray for those that are struggling that we know out there, that we know they need Jesus. Some of you, praise God, bless you and thank you. They're praying for my son in Pasadena. He's going to be saved. Soon he's going to be saved. I believe it. I get to go in July for a couple of weeks on my vacation here soon. And I'm going to talk to Jesus. I'm going to sit with him and tell him about the grace of God. I'm going to give myself of me to him. And prayer, he'll be saved. Because he's not saved yet. He's going to go to hell if he dies. My son that I love with all my heart. Have I given up? No. Will I give up? No. Because God has called me to pray for my family, pray for my children. The Bible tells you to pray for the leaders. Are you praying for your leaders? How much time are you giving to that? Or is that bondage holds you? Christ set us free, guys. There's a man that paid a big price, believe it or not. We all know the story. Even secular history talks about the crucifixion of Jesus and the tomb and why we write 2016 now. Because of his death and resurrection. Look at Galatians 1:5. Galatians 1:5. Stand fast, it says. Therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's clear. You see that first word where it says stand fast? So as Christians, we're supposed to do this. Watch. Is that what it's saying? Stand fast. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm barely blinking and moving my eyes. Is that what it's saying? Stand fast. I'm standing really fast. That's not what it's saying. Look at this. In text, in Greek, it's pronounced stako. Stako. To preserve or to stay in fellowship with Jesus. So it's saying, watch what you're doing. Live for Jesus. Always remember God is there. Preserve. Protect what you're learning. Protect how you're living as a child of the living God. Or are you spending too much time doing other things? Here's a little pastor in the future right here. I believe that. He already wants to be on the pulpit. Maybe I did that when I was a little kid. See, that's what it means to preserve and stay in fellowship with the Lord and with others in Christ. You're not going to do it alone. You're not going to make it alone. You need each other. We need each other. It says to stay in fellowship. Therefore, in the liberty that Christ made us free. I like the last word. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what that word yoke means right there? I thought it meant like a yoke, like a hold on, which it is. But in the actual text, in the Greek, it's pronounced zugos. Zugos. Which literally means not of the world. See, I did a lot of things in the world, but I can't do those things no more. Because that's what was binding me, had me in bondage. It will not let me be free to be the frank and the godly man that God called me to be. I was in bondage. And right here it's telling us, don't do that no more. You're set free through Christ. We should be slaves to Jesus now. If you're going to be called a slave, you say, I'm a slave for the Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ that died and rose. That's who we're slaves to. And then you smile. Because that's the love of God. There's people you meet, man. Well, did I meet? Hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm all right. I'm doing good, yeah. Big old straight face. Wake up, bro. Jesus loves us. We're children of the living God. And they always tell me they're okay. Some kind of bondage there. And if you're struggling, I'll tell you, you know what? I'm struggling here. I'm going to smile through it, but you know what? I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? We're so afraid. We're so embarrassed to tell people we're going through. How will you ever be set free? You think I like sharing up here that I was a drug addict, a womanizer, a liar, a cheat, and everything? It's not easy, but I know what it does. It gives glory to God and it shows His power of what He can do. Don't be ashamed. You'll be set free when you can confess it to a brother and sister in Christ. If it's a woman thing, get together with a woman and talk with her and share with her what you're going through. Guys, if it's a guy thing, talk to a man. Talk to another guy and have them pray for you. You're all prayers. You're all saints. You're all followers of Jesus, I think. Do not be entangled with the yoke of bondage anymore. We can't be doing those things, folks. Now we are to give of ourselves. When I became a baby Christian and I got saved, I was barely learning. I was kind of crawling, if you will. But I was so hungry. I would just read and read. I wasn't quite understanding what I was reading, but the pastor told me just read and read. I guess that's why I'm telling you guys, read and read. This word is alive and it's powerful. And until you believe that, nothing's going to take place. You can read all you want, but if you're not out there applying it and believing it, it's going to be stale. You're going to have chaotic lives. You're not going to know how to give. We can lead you to the water, like they say, the horse, but you can't make them drink. We need to read it, folks. Then you'll start seeing things be set free. Things will start loosening from your life. I was a big curser, a liar. And God has delivered me. And God wants to do that in your lives and in your homes and in your relationships as well. Get this. This one really blew me away. Not only are people in bondage and we're groaning and praying for things and seeing nothing happen maybe, even the earth. This globe we live on, it groans and moans. I did not know that. And I didn't believe it here, and I didn't believe it physically. A few months back, me and my wife watched a lot of documentaries, actual events and things. There was this scientist that got together, and they will go out there and hear the sounds of the earth in quiet, remote places. You can hear the earth groaning like a whale or something. And they were recording the sounds of the earth. It's groaning. And okay, it could probably be real. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. This is when it blew me away. God showed me it's true, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage. Even this world is in bondage of to what? Corruption. And to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning. It's right there, been groaning together with the pains of the childbirth until now. Even the earth we live on, it's groaning because there's so much corruption. We're throwing so many chemicals in the ground and in the air. It's groaning. And I was like, wow, God, the earth also groans. Isn't that powerful? I don't know about you, but it hit me like a ton of waves. And I was like, yes, it's true. Any question you have in life, it's in here. The answer is in here, in his holy word. You just got to look. Guys, I've been studying and reading the Bible for some years now, but when I read this, I was like, wow, even the earth wants out. Oh, and it's going to be wiped out. Because in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created a beginning. And then in Revelation 22, it says, in the end, it's going to end. If there's a beginning, there's an end. He says he's going to wipe it all out. He's going to make a new earth, a new heaven, a new everything. This earth can't wait to get out of earth, if that makes any sense. I can't wait to get out of this tent. This body God gave me, because you know what, folks? This body just wants to do the wrong things. Look at the wrong things. Say the wrong things. Listen, there's towers that are starting to be built for Baal, for these devil gods in New York and another country. There's sexuality's out of control. People are getting blown up. We're right there. Jesus is coming soon. And this window of giving grace is shutting, folks. It's going to close one day and it's going to be too late. That grace is going to stop. And the earth and the people on earth are going to say, finally, Jesus came back. Well, anyways, those that believe in him. I know some of us are groaning and moaning. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep trusting. Keep practicing the faith and the grace God has given us. The grace we practice today is vain, weak, and not genuine. And I say that very loosely because I know a lot of Christians that, well, not here, not this church, okay, other churches, not you guys. Man, I hear them talk. And I see them in places. My wife looks at me, I go, don't say nothing, let's just pray. People tell me stuff. At times in front of her. God's got this. My boss called me today. I'm getting ready in the morning. I'm all fired up to come preach. The enemy's trying to shoot me down by this customer that needed his material. It was there. I did everything I was told yesterday. It was just something to slow me down. Did it slow me down? I didn't think so. Things are going to hit us. I said, I'm not going to let this slow me down. No way. I called the boss. I said, boss, it's there. It's done. Oh, he said, he apologized like 5 times. Thank you. That was it. It wanted to worry me. I said, no. God, you're going to speak today, and I'm going to go over there in your power and in your glory and in your might, trusting you're going to speak to us. I want to give of myself to you, of what God would tell me to tell you. We need to be genuine. We need to be quit being weak or vain. Mean it. See, we want from God, but we won't fully commit to God. That's where a lot of people fall short. We want from God, but we won't give our time to God. I found a word. I always love learning big words, and I'll throw them at my wife because she's a college student teacher. And sometimes I stump her. Yes! Because I feel smarter than her. There's a men pride again. But it's good for me because she's helping me. God gave me a great wife that's teaching me to speak and enunciate, learn words. I never studied in school, high school students, teenagers. I never went to school, and I missed out on so much. Stay in school, man. Learn. Be successful. God has great things for you, little ones, you young ones. He does. Just keep learning, keep reading, and keep coming to church. Keep praying to the living God, and you will get there. I lost like 30 years because I lived how I wanted to. I missed probably 30 years of ministry, but he's given me another 17 and I'm still going, praise God. I started a little later in my age. I graduated in my 40s, but he still let me graduate. I got my diploma, got a better job. Now he's making me a pastor, letting me speak his word. I'm a little older, but he'll still do it. But I'm telling you, young kids, stay in school. Listen to your parents. Listen to whoever's over you. Read your Bible and pray. You'll watch God make you successful people. God says, I will make you successful. Not the world, but God will. And all I want to do is be successful to reach people for Jesus. I don't want glory. I don't want fame. I don't want to put myself right now up here for you. I want to tell you that God does this. I want God right here speaking right now to you. Not me, but God's voice. And that's how he works. This is the word, palingenesis. We need more palingenesis Christians. I didn't know what that word meant till I read it. It means this, two words derived, split in half. Palin means again, genesis means birth. See, there's a lot of palin Christians, but not palingenesis Christians. Okay, we're saved now, we follow Christ, but you know what? I'm still going to do what I want. No, I don't want to go, I don't want to do that right now. I got my own things going. That's a palin Christian. Why don't you just fully commit, become that palingenesis Christian that came to Christ and is being rebirthed and regrown and regenerated and moving for Jesus? That's what God is looking for. People that are worship him in spirit and in truth, genuinely, faithfully committed. That's a hard one, huh? And you can give me all the excuses you want, and I'm good with that. But I work all day, too. I have long hours, but I still give God his time. There's no excuses, folks. Brothers, sisters, I say it in the love of Christ. No more excuses, man. It's time to wake up. Start giving some more time to God. Be a fully committed Christian, a palingenesis Christian. Take that word with you. Again reborn. Again birthed. We all say, Jesus, come into my life. But that's as far as we've gotten. We got to get with it and get moving. Start doing things for the Lord and putting some of the things you like aside. I know some of you work long hours. Maybe some of you have physical illnesses. God understands that. But those of you that are able and capable, get going. Start learning. Start reading more. We want God's grace, but we don't want new birth. You see? We're all reborn Christians, the Bible says. That's what it says. So do we just need grace? Yeah, we need grace, but we need to practice it. Secondly, does grace just say believe? Oh, yeah, I'm good. Well, yes, the Bible says that. If you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved, right? It says that. Yeah, we can sin all we want. It's not in my notes, but Romans 10:19 says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9, I didn't put it in my notes or up there. Romans 10:9, if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, look which words come first. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Is he Lord first? Because we can confess all you want, profess, Jesus come to my heart, but now is he your Lord? Is he Lord of your life? When someone's Lord of your life, you'll do anything and you'll go to any extreme at any level at any time and go do that. Because that's the Lord of your life. I spent many hours as a young man drumming to learn to get good. My friends would come over, Frank, there's a part of her. No, I got to practice. Hey, Frank, let's go over here. No, I want to learn to drum. That was my Lord. And of course, everything else followed. The drinking became my Lord. The partying became my Lord. The women became my Lord. The lying, the cheating, the stealing became my Lord. What's the Lord of your life? What's lording you over your life? What are you allowing? Because we allow it. I can so quickly and easily tell these pastors that are not here today, but maybe they're seeing me on Periscope, you know what, I'm done. I'm just going to sit down in a chair. That's my choice. Will I go to hell? I don't know. I choose to serve God because he saved me and he showed me his power. And now he's teaching me to give grace and love and time and sacrifice. Is it easy? Never. I told someone over the weekend, they told me this in the text, and I'm going to try to just nutshell it. I'm doing all I can, and nothing's working. I told this person, look, if you don't know how to suffer, you'll never learn how to love. It sounds very abstract, I know, but in the suffering, that's something that takes place and God does deep inside that'll make you grateful and teach you how to love regardlessly, like a palingenesis Christian should, fully committed even when it hurts, even when your boss is on you and it's not even your fault, even when your partner's on you and you didn't do nothing wrong. You need to still submit and let God do the work. We can't just say we believe in we're good. You see, Paul, the apostle Paul, played the game of life of this world too. Guess what he did before he became a Christian? He killed people. He kills Christians especially. You believe in Jesus? You believe in Jesus? He was just chopping heads off. No remorse. Putting them in jail. The little kids, send them to jail. That's their parents, send them to jail. Putting them in prison. What happened to Paul? The grace of God came to Paul. That's what happened. And did Paul just believe and he was okay? He was good? I'm a Christian now. I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm not selling no more. Woohoo, I'm happy. Is that the story? I don't think so. Look at Acts 9:6. It says, Acts 6. This is when Paul was blinded by God. Jesus Christ himself came and showed up to him. He said, get up, go into the city, and you will be told what to do. This is when Paul's going to go to Damascus and kill more Christians. He's on a high horse and having a good day killing people. And Jesus himself shows up, knocks him off his horse. Some of us need to be knocked off our horse and woken up. Maybe blinded for a little so you can recognize who we serve and how he doesn't play games. He plays for real, and his name's Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be real, and he wants us to be genuine, and sometimes he wants us to hurt because we need it. It says, get up, go into the city. Paul just didn't believe and receive his grace. He blinded him. But look what he says, the first word in 6, verse 6, get up. Get up. Some of us need to get up, man. Get going. You have time, serve God. You have time, read your Bible. Make time. It says, get up. And the last word says, go, and I'll tell you what to do. That word do at the very end of verse 6 is pronounced poecho. It means to make, manufacture, construct, act on, or cause. So Paul gets saved by Jesus, knocked off his horse. He's blind now. He tells him, what do I do? Go to the city. He goes to the city to help him get there. And he's going to do something. What does he have to do? He has to do something with this new life God gave him. But he's still blind. He's still blind. What did Paul learn from this blinding grace? What did Paul need to learn? First of all, A, he needed to learn silence and submission because Paul was an authoritative person and he was always going around with the king's permission, doing whatever he wanted. And he led his apostleship, killing Christians the way he demanded and wanted, his way, and that's it. So God had to sit him down and shut him up. Can you imagine being blinded? Just all of a sudden you're at where you're blind. And you go home and I'm sure we sit there like, what is this? He taught him to calm down. He taught him submission. God taught him, I'm in control now. You're going to sit down for a little bit. I'm going to teach you some great things in this silence and submission. To grow as a Christian, you come up slowly. Because I've seen Christians that jet out when they get saved. They're going on the fast run, the 50-yard dash. The faster they start, the faster they fall. And I speak that from experience because when I was 1 year old into my baby Christianity, 1 year, I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew the Bible. I left my wife. I left that church and I went to another church and God slammed me to the ground. Stopped everything in my tracks because I thought I knew it all. I got ahead of God. He kind of did what he did to Paul. You know why he blinded Paul? Because Paul was one of the smartest guys at the time. He knew all the Torahs, all the Old Testament, he could quote it, man. He knew all the laws. He was kind of a very high quality, smart attorney, for say. And God blinded him. You know why? Because God was showing him all that head knowledge you have is not going to do you no good. I'm going to show you spiritual knowledge. You can have all the knowledge you want, but if there's no true, genuine spirituality and giving grace behind it, you're nothing. You're just a clanging cymbal. Genuine love. He learned silent submission. Secondly, what else did he learn? Not to know the future, what's ahead. Can you imagine him sitting there for, because he was blind for 3 days. He didn't even need, he sat there in that house where he told him to go. Wait, silently submit. Then I'm sure he thought, what now? I wonder what God's doing now. He had to stop forgetting about what was coming and just submit to God and do what he called him to do. Sometimes we want to run out there and start doing for God, and little things that we like get in our way. And, you know what? I'm just going to do this. Never mind. That looked pretty cool. It felt good at that Sunday, but never mind. Paul needed to learn that. That was the second thing he needed to learn, not to know the future. We're not called to know the future, folks. You just follow the living God, and he will show you great things. We walk by faith, not by sight. I've been through many churches, and look where God has brought me to you to tell you this right now. Let me tell you something. All of you that are here this morning, you didn't come because you planned. You didn't come because someone gave you a ride. You didn't come because of whatever you did. I prayed all week, every morning, and said, God, bring the people that need to be here this Sunday, and you're here to hear from him. That's why you're here, because I prayed all week, God, bring them. Whoever doesn't want to come, bring them. Whoever can't get a ride, get them a ride. When I speak, I pray for the church for weeks. I want God to speak. I don't want me speaking. You wouldn't like me. And sometimes you don't like what I'm saying, but because I'm saying it from the Bible, you can't say anything. You take it up with God. All I say is, it says it right here. You want to go around it, twist it, pervert it, it's on you. But in love, here it is. Be genuine, be real, be committed. Third thing, Paul needed to learn patient expectations. Patiently, he needed to sit there and just say, okay, God, you're going to do great things. I know you appeared to me. I'm blind, but you're going to do great things. Instead, we sit there and go, oh, my God, what am I going to do? This looks impossible. They'll never change, and this situation will never change. Well, yeah, you're going to be their stock. Are you patiently expecting? I tell you this all the time as a church. When you pray, pray as it is. My brother's not here today, but I always talked about my brother, Fernie. He didn't make it, but he's been coming. I believed it. I've been telling my family's going to be sitting all right here. They're coming slowly, one by one, because I'm not going to give up. I've told my family, until I'm dying in my hospital bed, I'm going to be praying for my family. I'll be saved. And maybe I'll die and leave, and they'll come later. Praise the Lord anyway. That's the faith we need. It's not going to happen on our time. It's going to happen on God's time, and patiently expect it. Believe it. And lastly, Paul needed to pray for light, man. Light, because it was dark. He couldn't see nothing. Sometimes we're living our Christian life, it's like this. You're like, okay, where am I going? What's all this going to? I don't know. I can't see. Maybe that's what God wants. But he wants you praying. Pray for that light to be revealed, what God wants you to see. Not what you want to see. Pray for God, what God wants you to see. God, show me what you want from me. I challenge you now, every time you get up, God, thank you for another day. Show me what I need to do today. Ask him that. God is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. You talk with him one-on-one, personally. Ask him that. What do you want me to do today for you, Lord? Ask him this. Holy Spirit, why am I a remnant? Why am I there? Why do I go? Ask him. I know why he brought me here. Again, he tore me from a church I was birthed and grown at through an incident. And I was torn over here. I didn't want to leave my church. And now I know why he brought me. First of all, to meet all of you. And secondly, to play as loud as I want. And I'm sorry for some of your ears. I love drumming loud. And God doesn't mind. Well, I do it anyway. That's what he called me. To be here preaching his word. Just because I was torn from one congregation to another, well, I don't want to teach no more. They kicked me out. I'm done. No. I held on to the hem of his garment. Said, Lord, what do you want me to do, a remnant? Jeremiah, Frank, can you drum for us? Absolutely. He never said preaching, just drumming. And I can preach because I was preaching over there. I didn't get high and mighty. Oh, I preach too, by the way, Jeremiah. I can drum, but I want to preach. I never said that. I'll drum for you. Absolutely. Can you come early and help set up? Absolutely. And look what he's done. A year later, biblically, everyone should sit for a year to start a ministry at God's birth. That comes from the story of the seed when the farmer wants to tear out a tree and the grower says, wait, give me a year, let me work on it. And a year come back. If it doesn't have fruit, we'll tear it off. If it does, you leave it alone because it's growing. That's biblical. You want to get into a ministry or church? Good for you. If you've already been seasoned in other ministries and we see the fruits of it, absolutely, we'll throw you right in. But we would have to take a pastoral decision, which 80% of the time we will say yes. Because a lot of you have asked us, do this ministry, do that ministry. Do you want to do it? Go for it. We'll back you up. That's how we roll here at Remnant. And you all have a calling. But this was needed for Paul to go and do God's work. This new life God gave us came at a huge price. Look at Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7 says this: He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. There's that big price again. He paid for us to be here, for us to have the life we have, for us to have the life we lead, to have this air that we breathe and the jobs we have and the clothes you wear and the food you eat. The list goes on and on. He gives us so much every day, and we take it for granted. And then we get attitudes, and we talk about people, backstab people. That's so wrong, man. We need to give and give grace. See, there was bloodshed. Someone shed their life and blood for us to be here. Yet a little word offends us. Yet we have a gift, and we don't want to use it. We're afraid. We're ashamed. It wasn't easy for me to come up here and start preaching. God prepared me on the way up. And I took every opportunity. I was nervous. I had like 15 papers in front of me. I'd get lost. It was all in the learning. How else are you going to learn to serve if you don't go do it? And like Jerry said, I think last week, if you feel that's not your calling, then look for something else. You'll know like that. No doubt I was called to drum. I never thought I'd pastor. Never in my wildest dreams. Or read the Bible as much as I do in my new life in Christ now. I never read the Bible. Now we're in a one-year program, year by year. My wife and I read the Bible in 1 year every year together. Isn't that beautiful? Find you a partner, man. Read the Bible. So thirdly and lastly, does grace allow us to live as we please? Does grace allow us to live as we please? Yes. God loves us. We're sinners. So let's abuse his grace. He forgives us anyway. Sounds pretty fair, huh? No. We need to live our lives to please God. No excuses. Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So how are you living your life in this present age? It's right there. That's what he called us to. We have freedom, but we have freedom in Christ. I have said this before. Those of you that have a driver's license, a California driver's license, you can drive anywhere you want to as long as you follow the laws, right? No speeding or running stop signs. You can go as far as you want and come back safely, right? Because you have a license. Well, now you live in Christ. You can live as you please. As long as you follow his word, you will be okay. And he will take care of you. And he'll watch over you. It even says that in the last times, people are going to be desecrated and it's going to get ugly and we're going to be okay. Some people are going to be going hungry, famine, when this end comes of this world and people are going to be dying. Some of us are going to be okay. God's going to provide for us somehow. It's in here. But how are you living in this present age? God has given us his grace. We should aim to please him. We should aim to please our family members in our home and respect them and love them and love everyone around you. The key, folks, is love. The key is love. Love people, period. Jesus was a people person. He didn't care what color they were, what denomination they were from, or where they were born. He loved people. And he hung around with the worst of them. He hung around with the drunks, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and they always talked about Jesus because he was doing the right thing. He was doing what God called him to be, to reach people, Savior of the world. We, folks, we right now are the only Jesus Christ anyone around you will see. You're the only Jesus Christ people will see. We're to illuminate him. And how do we do that best? Showing love, giving grace, respecting others, thinking of others before yourself. God gave us grace, we should give it too. We get his grace and treat people like crud. and don't care too much for the things of God and do it when you want to. And he gives us grace. Victor said it today. He loves us unconditionally, but it doesn't give us the freedom to go do whatever we want. Followers today have adopted the anything goes mentality. Do you believe God would give us his grace and we can do whatever we want? 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. I'm almost done here. Don't fall asleep yet. For God saved us and called us to live a life of a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. That was his plan, to give us Jesus. That was the grace he wanted to give us. That was the gift, is Jesus Christ. But how are you living today? How are you living for Jesus? Are you giving or you just want to take? Are you belittling people or lifting them up? Are you encouraging or hurting? How are you taking care of your body? Where are you taking your body? Where are your eyes taking you before the living God? I'm going to close with this story and I'm done here. I found this on the internet. A father talking to his daughter. A picture of God talking to us right now. Listen to this. Worship team, please come on up. It says this. If I told my daughters that I loved them completely, and no matter what they did, I would always love them, forgive them, and be willing to die for them. And after, if I told them this, one of my daughters looked at me and said, so I can just go stick my hand in the blender and you will still love me? I would look at her a little strangely and say, well, yes. If that's really what you want to do, go ahead. But you know that if you do that, it's going to be extremely painful. I will, of course, pull your hand out of the blender and rush you to the hospital and stop the bleeding and rescue what I can of what's left of your hand. But no matter what, I still love you and cherish you as my daughter. Is your hand in the blender? Are you premeditating to go just take for granted the grace God has given us and just go stick your hand in the blender? You can. God will allow us to go live however we want to. But he'll still come in his love, take our blended up hand, stop the bleeding, and bandage it. But is it really worth it to just premeditate and go do what God doesn't want us to do? You see? Grace is important to have. Grace is very crucial to us because it was crucial to God. He said, my people need a Savior. They're going to do all these crazy things. They're going to want to follow the things of other people do that are not godly. But I will give them my grace if they want it. It's a free gift. Do you want to practice this grace? Are you willing to start right now? All over. God always lets us start all over. If your marriage is bad, you can start right now. Start showing each other grace. If you're lost, if you don't know where you're going, start now. God, show me. Show me where you want me. What do you want from me, God? What do I do? He's a person. He'll listen to you. Is it going to happen like a genie in a bottle and poof, you're going to be there? No. Maybe we need to be spiritually blinded for a little bit. You need to be knocked off your horse. You need to submit. Maybe you just sit there and listen. There's times I go in my prayer time, get on my knees. Quiet. I don't say a word. I just let God consume me. Folks, and I don't hear anything. I just believe he's there washing over me. Then he lets me think of my brain, through my mind, of my sins, of the areas I need work in. Then some of your faces come up. Some of your names come up. And I quietly start bringing you in. God help me. God help them. God help our church remnant. God will start speaking to you in those quiet times. So if you feel you fell off that horse pretty hard, if you feel you can't see, look up and worship him. Believe. Practice grace and give. Amen. Stand up and let's worship God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Fix my eyes.
listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.